Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome in. Byron Donalds is going to join us at 12:30 today. This guy's a real deal, a background in finance, a congressman, Florida, speaking out because of the Girard College outrage yesterday. I still want to know. And look, Dan, I'm even invited to an event with David Hardy, who I really love. He's the president of, interim president of Girard College, a big school choice guy. How do you invite Biden and Kamala Harris there, who are the enemy, in my view, of poor kids? You got to choose. Are you going to stay with the teachers union, or are you going to stay with poor black and brown kids and give them a choice and let them out of these rotten schools? How does Joe Biden get to go to a good school in Philadelphia? Why doesn't he go to one of the public schools? Why was the rally at Girard College with people that are anti that? And by the way, the phony crowd size there, great work by the New York Post. What they did is they have the kids there. They bring in a few people from the neighborhood. Maybe there's a free lunch over there or something going on. And then they make the media space enormous. It's not even a high school. It's like a middle school sort of gymnasium. And a president of the United States and vice president with this sacred mission and all that's involved and all the money they're spending to reach out to black voters couldn't come anywhere near filling that. New York Post says estimates a few hundred, including the kids. So we'll play you some of the sound from that. But I want to open with Alan Dershowitz, who, nice job by Dan. He's much in demand today. He's on at 2 o'clock. Here's what he said yesterday, and here's why he's saying it, first of all. You're not going to believe this, and if this happens, I have to tell you, it would come out, we would know about it, and it would ratchet things up from a fever pitch where we are now to something much worse. I'm going to play you Dershowitz last night talking about the fact that he thinks that Judge Juan Merchan, based on his actions, could do something that's relatively rare, and that is, if we get to a situation with one holdout juror, and the others are saying, well, this guy's not negotiating on this. He says he's looked at everything, and it doesn't meet the elements of the crime. It's not there. And he's just sitting there saying he's made up his mind, or her mind. Dershowitz says he believes Marchand will call that person in. They'll hit him with the Allen charge, you know, formally, which is, as you know by now, You got to listen to the majority. You got to see the majority's point of view. The majority point of view has to be respected here. That means you have to negotiate. Shortly after that, he'll say, you're not fulfilling your oath. I'm going to give you one more chance as a juror. If you won't do that, I am going to tag in an alternate juror. Now, just think about this. With what all that we've seen, and then that alternate juror, within 5 minutes, suddenly it's 12-0. Do you think America's going to stand for that? Really? So why is Dershowitz speculating? You know, he's a brilliant beyond guy. I mean, he's written the book, Get Trump. He's saying this because he's been in the courtroom. He's seen the actions of Judge Mershon. And by the way, if I'm taking the pulse, I did a national show last night, and just looking at everything else, there are more and more people suddenly thinking that Trump's going to be convicted here. I'm not sure why. Nothing has happened to change anything. The jurors today wanted the Pecker testimony, so to speak.
Hey.
To the Pecker testimony.
Stormy Daniels already testified.
Yeah, that's right. He wanted Pecker this time.
Okay.
Yes. They wanted to go over with a fine-tooth comb the Pecker testimony here. So, nothing really has happened, but suddenly you're seeing all these people smarter than the room. Well, what about this if he's convicted, and what about that? There's more of that talk, rather than trying to get a handle on where this is going with the jury. Listen to Dershowitz lay this out. I'll ask him about it at 2 o'clock today, and I think some of this is in his mind. He is seeing what I'm seeing. There could be a couple of people here in a hung jury. And Judge Mershon is going to move heaven and earth not to let there be a hung jury, one way or the other. All right, here's Dershowitz. Here's his theory.
And I admit this is highly, highly speculative, but there I know a case on this, so that I'm not making it up. The judge said he's not going to dismiss the alternate jurors until there's an absolute verdict. One possible reason for that, and again, I want to emphasize that I'm speculating, one possible reason for this might be following, and it's quite cynical. Let's assume that the jurors come back and say, sorry, we're deadlocked. We have one juror who just won't give in. There are 11 of us who think he's guilty. By the way, the jurors don't say what they think. They just say there's a deadlock. But if they come back that way, the inference will be that the jury is locked 11-1 in favor of conviction. So the judge hears from the jurors, and the judge hears that they're 11-1. And then the judge says, well, is that other juror, the 12th juror, is he negotiating? Is he involved in the conversations? And the foreman of the jury says, no, he's refusing. He's sitting there with his arms folded saying, guy's innocent. Sorry, guy's innocent. I'm not going to listen to you. The guy's innocent. There's no case here. The guy's innocent. If I were on the jury, that's what I'd be doing. And then the judge has the power, rarely exercised, but he has the power. I've seen it done to say, well, if this juror won't deliberate, then he's violating his oath. And I'm going to substitute one of the alternate jurors for that juror, and then immediately they come back with a 12-0 verdict of conviction. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm not saying that's even in the judge's mind. But knowing this judge and seeing him in actions, particularly having seen him in action the day I was in the court when they cleared everybody, but I was allowed to stay, why, I still don't know. And I saw the real Judge Mershon. That's not beyond the realm of possibility. So anything's possible. This judge wants Donald Trump convicted.
Yep, that's it. Now, even Judge Mershon, but these people get into a bubble. They're hell-bent. We're not going to let this guy leave here. Don't you understand? We're going to do whatever. You do something like that, the backlash, you would think, has to be incredible. All right, so we'll see. I'm still in the camp that says hung jury. I'm not going to go with the wave here suddenly. Oh, he's going to be convicted. You'll see. And the clock that will tell us, if it gets past today, if late today you hear something 7 or 8 o'clock, they're coming back in, then he's convicted. But if it gets to Friday, you're going to start to see the wave move the other way to my way, which is hung jury here. 855-839-1210, you get on board. as I said, a tremendous amount of stuff with Biden yesterday that is just regrettable over here at Girard College. I want to play you a little bit of that in a second. And I mentioned I'm really excited. It took a lot, thanks to Dan and our other contacts, to get Byron Donalds on the show. And I think he's in the top three choices to be vice president.
Great choice.
One note, we'll have on tomorrow some of our people at the Shore. Today at 4 o'clock, they're going to announce some changes, some things they're going to do. I'm not convinced, though, Dan, they can get a handle on this necessarily. You know, I don't know what magic wand they're going to wave, but these cops are still greatly restrained. So I see the head of the New Jersey Benevolent Association weighing in and saying, you know, the cops are too restrained here, the Murphy administration. Why do these cop groups support people like Murphy? I know one reason. They're afraid the Republican can't win, is what they would tell you. Okay, if you go around endorsing Murphy, then you got to shut up, buddy, when it comes to the cops under this type of pressure. Just be quiet. I don't want to hear you then. State police, people like that, I don't want to hear it. If Josh Shapiro goes the wrong way, I don't want to hear it. You can't endorse him. Don't endorse anybody then. Say we're not endorsing.
So this guy was just nominated to the head May 7th.
Right.
It's Peter Andreev. You want me to pursue him for an
interview? Yeah, I'd like to ask him then, you know, will they endorse? Today. Who are they going to endorse in the upcoming governor's race? And if he says, well, wait a minute. How do I know? Wait a minute. And I'm going to tell him. You know what I'm going to tell him, Dan? Whoever the Democrat is, are you in your right mind endorsing them? What's the evidence to be a leading Democrat to get the governor's nomination in Jersey or the Senate that you can be pro-cop? What evidence could he produce? You know, I hate to be antagonistic with law enforcement, but we got to wake him up here. You go around saying, yeah, Phil Murphy's sort of okay. We're not in love with him, but he's not bad. He's horrible. All right, here's Biden in full Biden form yesterday. Let's start with... Well, first of all, Dan, cut six first. Here's Andrew Wiseman, who was one of the big Russian collusion Mueller report guys. Listen to what he says about Judge Mershon, that he's got a man crush on him.
As you've noted, with respect to Judge Mershon, I mean, I am like now, you know, I felt like a man crush on him. He is such a great judge that it's hard to see that the jurors wouldn't have the same impression. And he's just, you just keep on thinking, if you looked in a dictionary for like judicial temperament, that's what you get.
I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush.
Imagine this guy, he's got a man crush on him right there. You know what's going on. Here's President Biden yesterday, though. This is cut 5E. Here's Biden at Girard College claiming that President Trump is just pandering to blacks.
I'm showing you who I am, and Trump has shown you who he is. And today, Donald Trump is pandering and peddling lies and stereotypes.
He also went on to say that...
Sounds like a little projection there, Joe.
Yeah, that he turned... Oh, yeah, here's the one. Here's the main one. Democrats were just peacefully protesting during the 20 George Floyd summer. Cut 5B.
The threat that Trump poses is greater in his second term than his first. It's clear that when he lost in 2020, something literally snapped in his car.
Snapped on.
No, I'm serious.
Snapped.
That's why January 6th happened. When he unleashed an insurrection. Now he's running again, and he's clearly unhinged. He calls insurrectionists who stormed the Capitol patriots. Patriots. If reelected, he wants to pardon, quote, every one of them. Let me ask you, what do you think he would have done on January 6th if black Americans had stormed it? Think about this. What do you think would have happened if black Americans had stormed the Capitol? I don't think he'd be talking about pardons. It's the same guy who wanted to tear gas you as you peacefully protested George Floyd's
protested.
Murder.
Peacefully protested. There we go.
The same guy who still calls the Central Park Five guilty, even though they were exonerated.
There's more. You want it?
No, that's about enough. I love the peaceful George Floyd summer. He'd want to tear gas you.
Or in businesses lit on fire or anything, no.
Yeah, let's see. He went over with some entrepreneurs who own businesses. I guess they would not have the police do anything.
It's so ironic for him to say that you're in Philadelphia, where we had boarded up stores for what seemed like a month.
And
you know,
the newest,
maybe longer.
Newest thing that we saw, Dan, which was blowing up of ATMs. That was I haven't seen that in a while.
It's
but
true, yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's the side question today. In this date in history, Joan of Arc was burned to death at the stake. I mean, a particularly gruesome.
Yeah,
they don't fool around
oof.
As a form of death. And I've always loved that name, Joan of Arc. Dan of Borowski. You know?
Yeah.
We're looking for a legitimate, not someone you know the middle name and you shove it in there, person that has a three-word name, like Jesus of Nazareth, like, regrettably, AOC.
Yeah. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And, of course...
So we will take hyphenated names as long as it's three different names.
Three
okay.
different names. Yep. And I've never seen him called anything but Lee Harvey Oswald. They didn't throw the Harvey in because serial killers get a middle name, that whole thing.
No?
No. I mean, right from the beginning, it was Lee Harvey Oswald.
I wonder why that is. Why not just Lee Oswald? Where'd the Harvey come from?
Yeah, I guess he used it all
was
the
there,
time.
Was there a very famous Lee Oswald at the time that they wanted to differentiate him from?
No, John Wayne Gacy. I've always heard him called John Wayne
There's
Gacy.
Another three name.
He didn't say John Gacy. Who's John Gacy? John Wayne Gacy. Yeah. How about yours? How about yours, Dan? I don't hear you. Something mix up here. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Something's going on my board here. I said, where's Charlie Manson's middle name? He only got two. But how about Marjorie Taylor Greene? I'll take off.
Yep.
I think she has now a six-letter name that she's also called that's been copywritten.
Yes.
I can't believe that. Andre the Giant, the all-time great wrestler.
That's a great one.
And one more, Dom. Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder.
All right, so we're looking for that. Hit us with
yes,
one. Tell us why you like that one the best. At the end of your call today, Byron Donalds in about 15 minutes here. Got more sound of the president yesterday at Girard College. But think about this. This is a private school, boarding school. Guy Shiraki will be on the show today talking about how they get their funding. Why go there then? Why are they going to a private school where these kids are getting that funding and getting an education? Why didn't Biden go to a great public school? Couldn't they find any in Philadelphia? I mean, that sincerely, or would people start to write stories about it and go, whoa, Masterman, but look at how bad it is now. That might be, and maybe they were told, no, we don't want any of this. Why would a private school? They're against this. All right, phone lines, 855-839-1210. You heard Alan Dershowitz. Could I see Judge Marchand doing this? I have to answer yes, if it comes to this. Now, if it's two people, Dan, and you tag both of them out, I don't think even he's going to do that. He's going to say to the Democrat chieftains, all right, enough is enough. I did what I could. We can't convict this guy. Imagine convicting Trump by tagging out a reluctant juror.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I know Fox and the other cable channels have to try to keep the ball moving here while we're waiting for the jury. But the amount of talk of the appeal process, etc. here. And I just think the appeal process and the whole thing is beside the point. I'm laser focused. I know what this is about. Trump will win on appeal. It's not about that. Now, even if it comes quickly, let's say they went to the Supreme Court and with a matter of weeks, they overrode this decision, which I don't think they would do. It would take a while. All they want incrementally is to get that tag on Trump. We finally got him. He is a convicted criminal. And what the smarter ones around Biden are banking on, not that that will mean the election, that that's a win. They're hoping, though, in a state like Pennsylvania, these people in the suburbs who can't make up their mind, this will give them enough play to possibly win them over enough to win by a few thousand votes. That's what it's about. That's all that it's about. It's not about anything grandiose. It's getting that label for a while through the election to turn some minds to say, yeah, you know what? I can't vote for this guy. You know he's a criminal, right? He just went through the process, criminal. Now, will there be a backlash suddenly because of this kangaroo court? Maybe. Maybe there could be a net plus. But I would say on the other side, there's going to be a little bit of that. If this judge tags in the last juror, though, that is going to be a story like we've never seen. I mean, I can't predict the outrage people will feel around that. All right, let's go to Joe. We met Joe down there in Wildwood. Seems like a million years ago, Dan, of the Trump rally after all this. Let's go to Joe in Columbus, New Jersey. Hello, Joe.
Guys, it was a pleasure meeting both of you. It was a pleasure meeting your whole staff. We took care of one of your staff's duffel bags at one point. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be a story there. What staff had a duffel bag?
Must be a trustworthy-looking guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get his name. He just said, can you look after this? You're going to be here for a while. I said, yeah, we're here. And we kept his duffel bag at the base of our feet.
Okay.
Very nice gentleman. Dom, I do not understand, and I can't grasp that anyone could understand the crafting of this aggregate vote amongst all three charges.
Yes.
That means all you need is 12 votes amongst three charges. I mean, that's not a unanimous decision, and it's absurd to me. It's absurd to how this was crafted and how nobody could step in and say, you don't even belong on the bench, pal.
Well, look, Joe, there's a move by the Trump lawyers. They're putting it out there, and I think they would do it, that this is a malicious prosecution. You can go for it. But remember, again, you're in the same New York, even though it is a malicious prosecution. And the problem is you can win on all these things, Joe. I know it's maddening, but my sense is all that they want is that tag, convicted criminal.
Absolutely.
That's it. But, that's the whole thing.
But it defeats the whole judicial purpose of unanimous decision. And
yes,
for anybody out there not to grasp that is crazy. It's just, Dom, I could be charged with rape, murder, and speeding. And you can have a jury 50-50 on all three counts, and I could be charged with murder.
Yeah.
Under these grounds.
Joe, you have it. This is, and you know what? Finally, they told us sort of what the legs of the stool are, what the underlying crimes are, and then they can't unify that. So exactly to your point, you got to understand, though, a lot of America is not paying attention to this in the way that talk radio listeners are. It is.
No, they want the verdict.
Yeah,
they want the verdict.
They're waiting for the verdict. And if they hear that, and Joe, these people in the suburbs, they'll be walking around on Saturday. Yeah, I told you I couldn't vote for this guy. Now I'm no. How could I look at my kids in the eye and vote for a criminal?
Yeah, if you care about your kids, you should want to get into this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Joe, who's your three-word name?
Dom, I could not come up with one.
Oh,
I couldn't.
Oh, come on, Joe.
Here you go. I got it.
Joe Sheena of the,
I got it. Sheena of the Jungle.
All right. Thank you, Joe. You can watch our duffel bags when we're down there on June 21st at Mulligan's.
I think you gave us four, too. Did you just say, did you say George of the Jungle?
I think that's Sheba.
Of the Jungle, though, right?
Well, make that all one. Make it give him a chance.
He's like, I got on YouTube, Anne of Green Gables, and I'm like, come on, did we fail math class?
Wait a minute, call Judge Marchand and see if he would rule. Hey, yeah, you could put four in there and squish the two
Fred
together.
Fred Austin, William the Refrigerator Perry. That's four, Fred. That's four.
Jim says it's Gene of the Jungle, but it's still
four.
Just have to say Gene of Jungle. Take out the doll. Not Joan of the Ark, but Joan of Arc. That's an all-time.
You know
great
who doesn't
game.
Work here?
Who's that?
Smokey Bear.
Oh, yes. Well,
it's not Smokey the Bear, right?
Well, I heard an ad the other day, and it had Smokey the Bear, and then the actress reading it had excised it and called it Smokey Bear.
Yeah, see? So what is it?
Well, I saw, you know, that Roe loves Monk, right? So the tough guy who's the captain in it, Dan, his wife is in a car crash because of this labor dispute situation.
And he's getting in the face of the guy that's a labor leader, and the guy's got his thug there. And he says, get your girlfriend out of my face. And I was surprised they didn't excise that. I mean, that's calling the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good.
I just with the guy yelling at the union guy up close, did Roe have like any kind of relatability factor there?
Yeah, better watch it. Don't be driving. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Tarzan, Lord of the Apes is five words, Mangle. We're going the wrong direction here, fellas.
It's a three-word name. There's a million of them there, okay? Like, let's go to Bill of Westgrove, like Joan of Arc. Joe of Exton would have been a good... I'm taking that off the board, Joe of Exton. Let's go to Bill of Westgrove. Hey, Bill, what do you have?
Hey, Dom. It's been a little time since I talked to you. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hello to Dan also. I'm an Italian and Polish kid, but I'm using my name, Wild Bill of Westgrove.
Yes.
That's five words. Wild Bill of Westgrove. Bill, I'll give you another one. There's someone that shares your name that is a very famous individual with a three-word name that uses the first two parts of your name. Could you give us that one?
Wild Bill Hickok?
Oh, that one works.
There you go.
Yeah, I was thinking Wild Bill Grenier.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I just don't know how they can say that, you know, I'm having a hard time separating Biden from being a bumbling idiot to being the brains behind trying to crucify Trump. It's just amazing, but I guess it's his handlers that are...
We don't emphasize enough Wild Bill, and that is that the people that... the reason Biden's not going to drop out, he wouldn't do it anyhow. She wants to remain there at all costs, and the people behind the scenes... that are just advisors that have lanes of power they never would have had with an ordinary president on top of things, they are going to make sure he stays there. They don't want somebody else. They got the power. Yeah, they're running things.
Well, I wish the American people would see what a criminal organization these guys got going down there. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. Thank you, Wild Bill. Yeah, it's the people, you know, and it's hard to tell. Some of them are sort of there at times. Some of them are Obamaites. But they have power day to day. People particularly running various big parts of the government. Biden's not on top of that. I mean, it's hard enough for a really on top of president. The federal government is so huge. Mayor Pete's probably doing what he wants. Look at the results. By the way, has there been a bigger genius who's a failure than this guy? I don't care if he speaks 18 languages and plays the piano with his hands and feet. He's a huge failure. I mean, he's beyond a failure. Mayor Pete, pick some potholes first.
It would be impressive to see him play piano with his feet, though.
Yeah, that would be, while speaking Ukrainian.
Yes.
All right, Byron Donalds is next here. Hit us with that all-time three-word name. One more of President Biden yesterday, though. Here's what he said about, let's see. You may not have heard this. I wanted to play it one more time, Dan. 5C. Here's what he led with. Imagine little kids there. It's a boarding school. Some of them are from K through 12. They're kindergarten, first grade, second, third grade. Here's the inspirational message that Biden delivered to these young black and Latino kids at Girard College.
My extremist banned book. Did you ever think if anybody over 30 years old, you'd go through a period where banning books in America? They're trying to erase black history. We're going to write black history because it's American history. It's American history.
Yeah, tell those kids.
Together we make history, not erase it. To me, the values of diversity, equality, inclusion are literally, and that's not kidding, the core strengths of America. That's why I'm proud to have the most diverse administration in history.
All right, so we're getting rid of black history. That's what it's all about. Even for Biden, it's low-rent stuff here, even for him, which is hard to do. Byron Donalds, On Deck Circle next. What does he have to say about the Girard College appeal to black voters? He has been in New York inside the courtroom. And what does he have to say about being a leading vice presidential candidate? Dan, this is up your alley. I think I sent it to you, too. He's coming to town next week, and I'm trying to get in on this, even though none of these are my vices. Congress, cigars, and cognac.
Ooh.
Have you ever had cognac?
No, but I'm open to it.
goodness.
No, not
I mean,
you.
I had to
come
drink,
on.
Look, I had to drink some bourbon for Rand Paul. I'm still recovering from that.
Isn't it the same? Well, I'm going to really anger a lot of people. Isn't cognac?
I think it's a finer.
Is it? Okay.
It seems
very similar. At
German.
Least.
You know, every World War II movie, they're generals right before we come in.
Oh, cognac's a brandy. Okay.
A brandy. Yeah, yeah. They're sniffing that just as we're waiting outside the door to come in and, you know, blow them up. Yeah. Too much cognac and suddenly...
You need to find like a fancy drink to hone in on, though, that you're just...
Okay. I'll leave that to Johnny Z. He'll come up with it. What's wrong with wine? Wine is the greatest beverage in the history of the world.
There are just so many wines.
Except for white wines. Let's X them off.
I'm not even responding because that's a sin that you would even say that.
Oh, God.
White wines far exceed red wines.
I'm getting a headache just thinking of white wines.
I'm getting a headache thinking. I'm getting heartburn thinking of red wine.
All right.
How's that?
Tom Giordano's show. Dan and I have for a long time been trying to get on the show Congressman Byron Donalds. We think he's a leading star in the Republican Party. And due to the Girard College situation, the trial and all that, and a lot of work by Dan behind the scenes, there's been some synergy here. So without further ado, let's bring in Congressman Byron Donalds. Yeah. Hey, Congressman, welcome to Philadelphia. You are, it's a difficult situation we're in here, but I'm very grateful we got you. You're a big favorite of our listeners. And I know you've been around the trial, various events in New York. What are your impressions? What are the things that break out of you at this point in time?
Well, I mean, look, a couple things. First, the trial is a joke. I mean, it's not even a, I mean, it's a trial, which is what's truly disgusting and frankly un-American, but there's still no underlying crime. Mm-hmm. Even in the closing arguments, they couldn't identify an underlying crime. Then you got the judge telling the jury, well, you can just piecemeal the law however you want to. You guys can pick and choose amongst yourselves which law he violated. But if you all come back and say he violated the law, then he's guilty. Like, this is nuts. Like, this is not even, man, forget Republican, Democrat. Forget the fact that Joe Biden sucks. We all know that. I mean, we are talking about a complete unraveling of human liberty in America simply because the Democrats have lost their mind. So that's really what's on top of my mind. Like, it is that terrible for our country.
I agree. Now, have you been able to observe the jury? Today I made note, several commentators I trust said a lot of jurors were taking careful notes. I take that as a good sign. There are going to be a few people on the jury that see it the way that you and I do. If there are two or more, then this is going to backfire. What are you sensing?
I mean, when I was there, what I sensed was is that I think the prosecution lost one or two, maybe three of the jurors, where even when they were cross-examining Michael Cohen, that, you know, you could see their faces like cringe, twist, like really like, are they serious? Like, did he really say that? That kind of body language. So look, I think it's going to be a hung jury. That's what I think. Because
there's
just no case here. It's insane.
Exactly.
But that being said, the fact we're going through this is a very difficult thing to watch.
Exactly. Now, I follow you carefully, and, you know, you have the added burden of the media coming after you on the issue of a conservative congressman and race. You made comments about Joy Reid recently. President Biden was in town today. I think Girard College is a special place. I've been there many times. These are kids in a boarding school, poor, mostly black children, and they are getting a good shot. This is a good school. He opened up today by telling them that MAGA Republicans, conservatives, want to get rid of black history, want to just excise it, banning books, and we're not going to stand for that. Give me your thoughts, particularly the type of crossfire that you get.
I mean, I get it from the press sometimes. I get it from, you know, other people, but honestly, most of these people are pretty lame. Like, they're not going to do anything. Like, they just talk about you. But as long as you have the courage and the ability to stand your own 2 feet and you have actual examples and you have reasons and logic for why you believe what you believe versus just political talking points and foolishness, then that gives you everything you need to stand firm. But the press, they come at me with the silliest things. Like, I think, like, the New York Times came at me the other day with ridiculous arguments. Because, and the reason why they have to do this is because if the American people actually sit and listen to logical common sense, they will realize that the Democrats have lost it. and that the media is in the pocket and they won't want it. They will reject it wholesale. And look, let's call it what it is. The media is in the pockets of the Democrats. That's just what it is. They want the same thing that the Democrats want. They're in their pocket. And so they'll destroy anybody. It doesn't matter who you are, white, black, Hispanic. You're on the chopping block if you oppose their agenda.
Congressman, to that point, for years, ever since I've been doing talk radio, which is decades, in Philadelphia, we've said Democrats, particularly where I am in Philadelphia, you know the layout here, have taken voters of color for granted. Up and down the line, we see this constant. What is it about Trump? Because whether the polling is slightly off or not, there's no doubt that he has broken through. The South Bronx was just one example. What is it that's breaking through at this point that other Republicans have not been able to do?
The fact that he talks direct. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't play games. Everything isn't perfectly crafted. I tell some of my colleagues sometimes, I'm like, don't write your speeches. You already know what you want to say. Just go say it. Like, you know, like you are elected for a reason. You don't need a staffer or a consultant to craft everything for you perfectly, so that way you don't fall in the crosshairs of ABC News or CNN. No, the heck with that. And that's not where people are. And I think it's just bigger than just black voters. I would tell you that's where most people are right now. They want you to be direct. They don't want you to pull punches. That's what Donald Trump does. And so I think that now that you're seeing with black voters, Hispanic voters starting to come his way, is because he just has a no-nonsense approach. He's not going to run away from people who criticize him. As a matter of fact, he engages them and is trying to find ways to beat them at every turn. People respect that. You couple that with the fact that Joe Biden's the master of disaster. Like, everything has gone wrong. Like, I heard in Philadelphia today, they could barely fill a gym. I mean, that's nuts for a sitting president to barely fill a gymnasium.
Well, but and these were mostly children.
The president.
Yeah, there's like 200 or 300 kids that were in there that are brought in through the school because it's a boarding school. So they're kind of a captive audience. You're right. He just can't draw. That's a sign. A little bit, if you would, because it's the first opportunity I had to talk with you. And as I said, listeners really admire the stuff that you're doing. A little bit of your background before you came to Congress, how you got here. What are some big issues for Congressman Donalds?
I'm a finance guy. I was in banking, insurance, financial services before I got into politics. So for me, like I became a conservative really because of economics, because it was my career. And then when I started paying attention to politics, my economic viewpoints kind of really settled in to kind of frame the rest of my politics. So I'm a simple guy. You know, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. That's kind of my overarching worldview. And then everything else comes after that. So, you know, for me, what I want to see, cutting regulations at the federal level. So, you know, mom and pops, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, large businesses, they can go thrive. You know, one of the big things that's happened in our country from when Obama was president was they did this Dodd-Frank regulation to save the country from the banks, from the big banks. Well, the only thing that's happened is the big banks have gotten massively bigger. Small banks are virtually gone in the United States. So how does that help the little guy? I mean, the Democrats always say they want to help the little guy. Well, their own banking regulatory policy has destroyed community banking in the United States. That doesn't help mom and pop businesses. So I want everybody to be successful. I want everybody to thrive. And so I don't get into dogmas. Big government's not good for people. Lower taxes is what's good for people. Less regulation is what's good for people. Securing a border is a good thing. People secure their house, but we don't secure our country. That makes no sense. That's idiotic. You know, and so that's really what drives me. I just want an America that works. And if it works and we're using common sense, we're using logic, we're using conservative principles, the country's going to be better off and its people are going to be better off.
Well, I can tell why you don't need talking points now that I know the background a little bit. Congressman, often talked on the VIP list, particularly with our listeners. What are your thoughts about that, particularly your style and what we've just talked about? That would play well with President Trump as a VP candidate.
Well, you know, I really don't get into it too much because it's really the president's decision. So I'll tell you what I think about, you know, what I think the camp will help the campaign. you got to have somebody who can go out there and take the message. You know, I think that's critical. Yeah, I think you got to have somebody who's going to be tough with the media because you know they're going to be going at that person left and right. Obviously, that person's got to be able to just hit the ground running, help the campaign, raise money, all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you know, we win the White House. We win the House. We win the Senate. You have all three. I think the vice president's got to be very helpful in getting the agenda done. You know, being on Capitol Hill a couple of years, I'll tell you, a lot of times where things don't happen on Capitol Hill is frankly because the leadership gets weak-kneed or you get a couple of members who say, oh, well, we can't vote for that. We can't do that. It'll hurt us in our district. And that's how some of these things really don't get across the line. So you got to have, you know, you got to kind of have an intermediary between the White House and Congress to help get that stuff done and get it through Congress and get it to the president's desk. Because at the end of the day, if we're, as a Republican, if the American people give us all three branches, give us the two key branches of government, give us the Congress and the White House, you got to do something with it. Like, you can't screw around and then be like, oh, well, it didn't work out because, you know, the New York Times isn't going to like us. You know, screw those guys.
Exactly. They don't like us Congressman, anyway. Is it your sense, President Trump had a lot of drive, the wall and everything else in the first team. But let's face it, you know, you can tell someone what it's like in Congress. You were told that before you went in. But you see what the roadblocks are. And in the second term, you know that you have to really drill down on these things if you're going to accomplish it, even over 4 years.
Yeah. No, you really, really do. And you got to have a strategic vision for it, just on the way Capitol Hill works. So you have to have the vision. Donald Trump has that. You got to have the tactical ability to move all that stuff through and get it done. And a lot of times what ends up in these bills are discussions between chairman and leadership and a handful of members. And you got to make sure that you got key parties on Capitol Hill involved in those discussions of how you're going to craft this stuff so that when it gets to the floor, it gets voted up and it gets out of that chamber. Last thing you want is for, like, you know, the speaker and one chairman to decide everything that was going to be in the bill, and other members get to see it. They're like, what the heck is this? That sucks. We don't want that in there. Or worse yet, for the White House to see it and then be like, hey, why did y'all put that in there? That's stupid. That's not what we wanted to do. You got to be working as a team, House, Senate, White House. You got to be functioning, everybody on the same page, and then working hard to get it done.
Congressman, thank you. Thanks for being generous with your time. Always welcome in Philadelphia. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, man. Anytime.
Give me a reaction to Byron Donalds. I was most impressed, particularly when we got to the VP question. Billy Ray Cyrus here. That's three names, Dan. And,
yeah.
And who was incorporated in that?
Yeah, it's a Lil Nas X, another three-word name. Yeah.
Yeah, Joan of Arc Day. By the way, a new poll out, Real Queer Politics reporting, Roanoke College poll showing Biden and Trump tied in Virginia. Now, Virginia has become, over the last few elections, not a purple state anymore. It's become blue. I remember, Dan, 2004, it was like two or three buildings where the radio station used to be, getting a call to me and a guy saying, please hold for Karl Rove. It was on election day. Hannity was in the tank conceding the election, like all, you know, the exit polls. And he goes to me, who do you know in talk radio in Virginia? And I said at that point, Carl, if you're doing all this in Virginia, then the election really is over. There's no way Virginia is going to go for a Democrat. At that point, that's 2004. And it turned out to be true. Bush won. It morphed, though, Dan. Starting after that, Virginia has become a solid, almost blue state, I'd say, except for Youngkin. And that was a, you know, different thing. Could Trump be tied in Virginia?
Wow.
According to this poll, it is. Now, this idea of winning New York is preposterous, or Jersey. But you may get them to commit some resources there because they get a little anxious. And Virginia now, it used to be Minnesota, it was thought was in play. I think Virginia is tough because of all those government workers in the bordering on Washington part. But can you imagine they were worried about Virginia, Dan, and Karl Rove on a busy election day? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Not only that, why couldn't you figure out who was in talk radio there? What am I going to tell them? I think Oliver North was on the air then, if you can imagine. This is the stuff that goes on. We don't want to have that on election day this time. Ah, the madness of it. All right, so no developments here with the jury. Alan Dershowitz at 2 o'clock today, what he thinks of Judge Marchand, and he believes this guy could tag in an alternate juror. Let's go to Doug in Burlington, who's been holding here. Hey, Doug, good afternoon to you. What's up today?
Yeah, I have a three-name.
Yes.
Mark David Chapman.
Yeah, he had the three names pretty early on, Dan. I think that's a legit one. Why is it always the killers, the serial killers? It's rare when they don't have the third name. If they kill somebody famous, they have to have a third name. Yeah, that's...
yeah, exactly. Now, let me explain real quick. There's an eeriness to that in the album Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a photo of John Lennon standing next to a sign that says the best way to go is M, D, and C.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
The initials. Thank you. Thanks. That's a good one. Thanks for the explanation, too. All right, our buddy Guy Shiraki's with us next. Several things to say about how in the world does Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, and President Biden go to a school that is parental choice, boarding school? How is all that funded? Why not make them go to a public school? You know, and with a political campaign with this, would a Catholic school have allowed Biden and Kamala Harris to come there and be this political? Would they allow them to tell their kids that America hates black history and white supremacists are going to do everything they can to them? It's completely out of line. But Guy's got a couple of other things. Yes, Dan.
So I'm just doing some research here. It's a little, you're asking why the three names. And there is actually some. So when serial killers are made in the news, a lot of times press, especially at the time, would use their full Christian name to avoid confusion with others, say Lee Oswalt's and such. And that's why you have the three names. But I do have a couple of informations that I'll get to probably in Dan time of individuals who have three names that are they're known for and why they are known for those three names.
I know. T's coming up here. All right, Guy Shiraki's next. Alan Dershowitz at 2. Love to hear what you thought about Byron Donalds. I was more impressed than even when I've seen him on Fox, particularly his answer to the VP question. And what I like, he goes on CNN. I'm not sure about MSNBC. He's willing to duke it out. And he's not afraid of it. You want to go where they are. If you can do that, you can do a campaign.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Billy Ray Cyrus here. That's three names, Dan. And who was incorporated in that?
Yeah, it's a Little Nas X, another three-name, three-word name. Yeah,
yeah. Joan of Arc Day. By the way, a new poll out, Real Queer Politics reporting, Roanoke College poll showing Biden and Trump tied in Virginia. Now, Virginia has become, over the last few elections, not a purple state anymore. It's become blue. I remember, Dan, 2004, it was like two or three buildings where the radio station used to be, getting a call to me and the guy saying, please hold for Karl Rove. It was on election day. Hannity was in the tank conceding the election, like all the exit polls. And he goes to me, who do you know in talk radio in Virginia? And I said at that point, Carl, if you're doing all this in Virginia, then the election really is over. There's no way Virginia is going to go for a Democrat. At that point, that's 2004. And it turned out to be true. Bush won. It morphed, though, Dan. Starting after that, Virginia has become a solid, almost blue state, I'd say, except for Youngkin. And that was a different thing. Could Trump be tied in Virginia?
Wow.
According to this poll, it is. Now, this idea of winning New York is preposterous, or Jersey. But you may get them to commit some resources there because they get a little anxious. And Virginia now, it used to be Minnesota, it was thought was in play. I think Virginia is tough because of all those government workers in the bordering on Washington part. But can you imagine they were worried about Virginia, Dan, and Karl Rove on a busy election day? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Not only that, Why couldn't you figure out who was in talk radio there? What am I going to tell them? I think Oliver North was on the air then, if you can imagine. This is the stuff that goes on. We don't want to have that on Election Day this time. Ah, the madness of it. All right, so no developments here with the jury. Alan Dershowitz at 2 o'clock today, what he thinks of Judge Marchan, and he believes this guy could tag in an alternate juror. Let's go to Doug in Burlington, who's been holding here. Hey, Doug, good afternoon to you. What's up today?
Yeah, I have a three-name.
Yes.
Mark David Chapman.
Yeah, he had the three names pretty early on, Dan. I think that's a legit one. Why is it always the killers, the serial killers? It's rare when they don't have the third name. If they kill somebody famous, they have to have a third name. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, exactly. Now, let me just explain real quick. There's an eeriness to that in that in the album Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles,
mm-hmm.
there's a photo of John Lennon standing next to a sign that says the best way to go is M, D, and C.
Gotcha.
Which are the...
Yeah, gotcha. And the initials. Thank you. Thanks. That's a good one. Thanks for the explanation, too. All right, our buddy Guy Shiraki's with us next. Several things to say about how in the world does Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, and President Biden go to a school that is parental choice, boarding school? How is all that funded? Why not make them go to a public school? You know, and with a political campaign with this, would a Catholic school have allowed Biden and Kamala Harris to come there and be this political? Would they allow them to tell their kids that America hates black history and white supremacists are going to do everything they can to them? It's completely out of line. But Guy's got a couple of other things. Yes, Dan.
So I'm just doing some research here. It's a little you're asking why the three names. And there is actually some. So when serial killers are made in the news, a lot of times press, especially at the time, would use their full Christian name to avoid confusion with others, say Lee Oswalds and such. And that's why you have the three names. But I do have a couple of informations that I'll get to probably in Dan time of individuals who have three names that they're known for and why they are known for those three names.
I don't know. T's coming up here. All right, Guy Shiraki's next. Alan Dershowitz at 2. Love to hear what you thought about Byron Donalds. I was more impressed than even when I've seen him on Fox, particularly his answer to the VP question. And what I like, he goes on CNN. I'm not sure about MSNBC. He's willing to duke it out. And he's not afraid of it. You want to go where they are. If you can do that, you can do a campaign.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.